On peut lire le verse in the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah in chapter 13. Book of Jeremiah chapter 13. That's one. Jeremiah 13, verse 1. Lift up your eyes, and behold them that come from the north. Where is the flock that was given thee, thy beautiful flock? Sure, tonight the Lord will richly rescue us this reading from His own precious word. There's many beautiful things in the Bible. If you want a good study, consider the book of Ruth, and there you see a woman with beautiful features. If you go to Isaiah chapter 52, there you read about a man with beautiful feet. How beautiful upon the mountains is the feet of him that bringeth glad tidings. What I'm going to speak on tonight, very simply, I'm going to look at the local assembly, and we're going to think of the assembly tonight as a beautiful flock. Let me say this at the commencement. Next to the beauty of Christ is the beauty of the church. And I'm going to repeat that tonight. Next to the beauty of Christ. For remember, no mortal with him can compare. Among the sons of men, fairer is he than all the fair that filled the heavenly plain. But next to the beauty of Christ is the beauty of the church. Now whether it be the church universally, or whether it be the church locally, I believe that those churches are marked by beauty. Now I'm going to think just very briefly tonight of the church in its widest aspect, and it includes every Christian. It can be viewed as a building. It can be viewed as a body. And it can be viewed as a bride. As a building, it cannot be dismantled, and it cannot be demolished. As a body, it cannot be diseased, and it cannot be divided. And as a bride, it cannot be defiled, and it cannot be divorced. The church in its widest aspect. As to the building, Christ is the cornerstone. As to the body, Christ is the head. And as to the bride, Christ is the bridegroom. And I want to say three things tonight about that church. As to the past, Christ purchased it. As to the present, it is being purified. And as to the future, it's going to be presented in all its perfection. He's going to present to himself a church glorious, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing. But tonight, I'm not dealing with the church universally. I'm dealing tonight with the church locally, and I want us tonight to see the beauty of a local assembly. I'm going to do a thing tonight I never do. I'm going to make an acrostic of the word flock. And I'm going to speak on five things tonight that makes a beautiful flock. And in case that flock tonight should beat us, I'm going to give you the five things that makes a beautiful flock. Number one, we're going to consider the feeding of the flock. Because if we're going to have a beautiful assembly, that assembly will have to be fed. And we're going to speak about the feeding of the flock. Number two, we're going to consider the liberty of the flock. Because you and I, as the people of God, we have to enjoy liberty if there's going to be a beautiful flock. Number three, I'm going to think of the oneness. I'm going to think of the unity of the flock. Because if we're going to have a beautiful assembly, there has to be oneness. Fourthly, I'm going to think of the characteristics of the flock. Certain things mark a sheep, and certain things should mark you and I as the people of God. We're going to think about the characteristics of the flock. And finally, we're going to consider the keeping of the flock. And if those five things mark a local assembly, you and I will have a beautiful assembly. Now before I touch that, let me say this. An assembly in fall. You've known assemblies that have fallen. And I've known assemblies that have fallen. Your mind has went to Revelation chapter 2. Remember, from whence thou hast fallen, an assembly can fall. Number two, an assembly can be consumed. When Paul writes to the Galatians, he says this. If ye bite and devour one another, you'll be consumed one of another. An assembly can be consumed. Number three. An assembly can be leavened. I read in the Corinthian letter, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I read in the Galatian letter, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, and an assembly can be leavened. You know, an assembly can lose its beauty. Is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty? The joy of the whole earth. And I'm going to speak to you tonight, dear child of God, the beauty that marks an assembly. Now, I like that verse in the Authorized Version in John chapter 10. And it goes like this. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. And I have no problem tonight in John chapter 10 to fit that into the context of John chapter 10 and see the greatness of God, see the greatness of the Father. You know, I've got a marginal reading in my Bible, and I enjoy marginal reading. I want you to think this one over, listen to it. That which my Father hath given to me is greater than all. What does it bring before us tonight? The dignity and the distinction of an assembly of God. That which my Father hath given to me is greater than all. Now let's think of the first thing we're going to consider tonight in the fear of God. If an assembly is going to be beautiful, an assembly will have to be fed. Now I want to underline that tonight, because I'm going to say three things about men that often stand up here. Number one, there are men that weary the saints. Number two, there are men that worry the saints. Number three, there are men that water the saints. I think of Diotrephes. I think of a man that worries the saints. And I think of Apollos tonight. I think of a man that watered the saints. And I want to make it very clear tonight. Paul makes it very clear to Timothy. There are two types of teachers. And I'm going to speak tonight about those two types of teachers. Number one, there's a teacher who is approved of God. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Study to be approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let me say three things tonight about a man that is approved of God in connection with the word of God. Number one, he roots it up. He's a man that searches the scriptures. He's a man that studies the scriptures. He roots it up. Number two, he lets it in. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And then number three, he lives it out. So have you got the picture? He roots it up. He lets it in. And then he lives it out. He's a man that is approved of God. But you know, when I come to 2 Timothy 4, I read about men who are approved of men. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 4 this evening. They shall keep to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and produce. Hence they are must produce. I'm exercised tonight, dear child of God, with one thought this evening. What is the difference between the man that is approved of God and the man that is approved of men? I'm going to tell you tonight the difference. A man who is approved of God speaks what the people need. The man who is approved of men speaks what the people want. And there's far too many of God's servants today, and they're speaking what the people want, instead of speaking what the people need. And I trust that in our midst, there will be raised up men, and they will be approved of God. Now let me stress my first thought tonight. If we are going to have a beautiful assembly, that assembly has to be fed. Now not least, there are men who fleece the flock of God, and they think they're feeding the flock of God. But I want to emphasize tonight one thing. If there's going to be a beautiful flock, that flock will have to feed upon the green pasture. They'll have to feed upon the good pasture. And they'll have to feed upon the fat pasture of the Word of God. Let me say two things tonight about feeding. Number one, I come from a country where there's many sheep, so I could speak tonight with authority. And if a sheep is going to be fed, two things are brought before us. Number one, that sheep will be fed by the shepherd. Number two, that sheep will feed itself. And if we're going to have a beautiful assembly, there will have to be shepherds who are feeding the flock. And there'll have to be an appetite for the Word of God. I was reading tonight, today, Ezekiel 34. Will you listen tonight to that solemn chapter? Sheep that were shed. Sheep that had broken bones. Sheep that were diseased. Sheep that were wandering. Sheep that were straying. And as I try to visualize that chapter tonight, and at least three times in the chapter, I read these words. Shepherds feeding themselves. Should not the shepherd feed the flock? And I want to emphasize tonight, beloved, we're needing shepherds tonight in the assembly. I was at a Bible reading many years ago. The question was put in that Bible reading. What is the difference between Saul and David? One wise old brother spoke up and he said this. Saul had a heart.
even God.
I tell you tonight, dear child of God, we're needing shepherds tonight in the assembly, in order that they might bring before the flock of God good pasture, green pasture, and fat pasture, in order that the flock of God might be fed. Will you listen tonight to what the Bible says? Peter's an elder. Peter is a shepherd. Peter says to the elders in 1 Peter chapter 5, listen tonight to his word. Heed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. We're needing men amongst us as the people of God who are prepared to spend themselves for the sake of the Lord. Let me say this tonight. No matter what we do, if we're going to do it acceptably for God, it's going to involve what? It's going to involve labor. Now go through the Bible tonight. Do the work of an evangelist. I tell you, evangelism tonight is a hard work. You know prayer? You remember what it says about Epaphras? Laboring fervently for you in his prayer. Prayer is a hard work. I almost trembled tonight as we sung that hymn. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour. Do we spend a single hour in the presence of God? Prayer is hard work. Teaching is work. Study to be approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Let me say this evening. The work of a bishop is not an office to fill, but it's a work to fulfill. For if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. And if we're going to have a beautiful assembly, there will have to be shepherds who spend themselves for the sake of the Lord. I listened to Jack Hunter one night, making a contrast between a hunter and a shepherd. Will you listen tonight to what he says? A hunter gratifies himself at the expense of the victim. A shepherd, he spends himself for the sake of the flock. And we're needing tonight elders, and we're needing tonight shepherds, and we're needing tonight overseers who are prepared to spend themselves for the sake of the flock. And secondly, like a common thing in Scotland to see a sheep on its knees and eating away at the green pasture in the field. I want to emphasize tonight to young men. I want to emphasize tonight to young sisters. If there's going to be a beautiful assembly, we'll have to have an appetite for the Word of God. Let me say this tonight very quickly. Have you ever thought what the Word of God has done for you? Go through the Bible tonight. It's by the Word of God we're born again. That's 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. By the Word of God we grow. As newborn babes earnestly desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they might grow thereby. It's by the Word of God we're cleansed. It's by the Word of God we're built up. I often ponder those words of Paul in Acts chapter 27. Listen tonight to them. Take food. It's for your safety. It's for your health. Your life depends upon it. I want to emphasize tonight the importance of the Bible. Andrew Pickering was once asked the question, what's the best use of the Bible? I want every young Christian tonight to get the answer that Henry Pickering gave. Listen to the words of a man of God. Read it through. From Genesis to Revelation. Note it down. Pray it in. Live it out, and then pass it on. And that's the best use of the Bible. Now let me say this tonight very quickly. As the engrafted Word, you and I have to receive it. That's James chapter 1. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word, that which is able to save the soul. So the engrafted Word is to receive it. The faithful Word is to hold it fast. That's Titus chapter 1. Holding fast to the faithful Word. The Word of life is to hold it forth. Philippians chapter 2 says this, holding forth the Word of life. As the Word of truth, we have to rightly divide it. And as God's Word, we have to treasure it. Listen tonight to the words of Job. I have esteemed, I have treasured up the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. I leave it with you tonight, dear child of God. If the assembly that you are linked with, and if the assembly that I am linked with is going to be a beautiful assembly, number one, the flock has to be fed. I like what it says about those men in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. They sought out pasture. They sought out good pasture. They sought out that pasture in order that the flock might be there. And I leave it with you tonight, the feeding of the flock. Number two, if the flock is going to be a beautiful flock, there has to be liberty. And I want tonight to speak of the truth of liberty. Liberty. And not looseness, but liberty. There are two types of freedom. Number one, there is a freedom that allows some to do what they want. And that's the age that you and I tonight are living in. I'll think what I like. I'll say what I like. I'll do what I like. And I'll go where I like. There's a freedom that allows people to do what they want. That's a wrong freedom, and that's the book of Judges. No king in Israel. Everyone doing that which is right in their own eyes. And that's a freedom to do what you like. I want to say this tonight, beloved. There is a freedom in the Bible, and it allows us to do what we ought to do. And that's a freedom tonight that is true. Beware of many things in the Christian life. Let me go through them tonight very quickly. Beware of bondage. The devil wants you where he once had you. I believe tonight we should beware of bondage. Beware of blindness. The last of the priests, Eli, was blind. The last of the judges, Samson, was blind. The last of the kings, Zedekiah, was blind. The last of the churches, Laodicea, was blind. Beware of blindness. Beware of blindness. There's a phrase in the book of Ecclesiastes I often consider. Will you listen to it this evening? If the iron be blunt, the sharp edge of the power of the Spirit of God going, and like Samson, I will go out as at other times. The poor man wished not that the Lord was departed from him. I tell you tonight, dear child of God, beware of bluntness. Beware of darkness. I come to 2 Peter chapter 1 and I read a verse like this. A
these things be in you and about you. We make you that you may neither harm nor harm. You know, God did three things for Lazarus and Christ.
Get the picture tonight of Lazarus. I believe in John chapter 11, Christ did three things for Lazarus. Number one, the man was dead and he received life. Number two, the man was in darkness and he was brought into marvelous light. Number three, the man was in bondage. For the Lord says, loose him and let him go, and he was brought into glorious liberty. Ah, let me say this tonight, dear child of God. Never forget, and I emphasize it, never forget, the grace of God has done for us. We were guilty. We've been pardoned. We were dead. We've been made alive. We were at a distance. We have been brought nigh. We were in bondage. But we've been brought into glorious liberty. And I want to go through this now. In Romans chapter 6, I made free by God. Listen to Romans 6. Being made free from sin, he became servants of righteousness. And in Romans chapter 6, I was made free by God. You know, in Galatians 5, I'm made free by Christ. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. I'm made free by Christ, in Galatians 5. 2 Corinthians 3, I'm made free by the Spirit. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, or where the Spirit is Lord, there is liberty. I come to John chapter 8 and I read two verses. The truth shall make you free. The Son shall set you free, and ye shall be free indeed. Have you got the picture? Romans 6, made free by God. Galatians 5, made free by Christ. 2 Corinthians 3, made free by the Spirit. And in John chapter 8, I made free by the Spirit. Now here's a warning, and I must leave it with you. Use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh. And use not your liberty for a foe of covetousness. Don't abuse what God wants us to use, and you and I have been brought into liberty. Certainly very quickly, I'm thinking tonight of unity. In your Bible you read what is good and plenty. And in your Bible you read what is good and profitable. And in your Bible you read what is good and perfect. And in your Bible you read what is good and pleasing.
But I'm thinking tonight of one thing. I'm thinking of what is good and pleasant. Your mind has went to Psalm 133. Listen tonight to it. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let me say three things tonight about unity. Number one, unity is sweet. Number two, unity is salvation. Number three, unity is strength. Together we stand, divided we fall. Let me say that. It's pleasant. Number one, it's pleasant to God because He planned it. Number two, it's pleasant to Christ because He died for it. Number three, it's pleasant to the Spirit because He makes it. Number four, it's pleasant to angels because they behold it. Number five, it's pleasant to the saints because they enjoy it. And number six, it's pleasant to the world for they admire it. Have you ever noticed that three times in the Thessalonian epistle you read the word together? And we're going to underline tonight the word together. Let's think of the first one in chapter 4. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I'm sure most of us tonight, we have loved ones who have departed. I never got to my father's funeral. I'll never forget when I returned to Scotland. And as I walked into the house that day, Mother was sitting on her chair, but Father's chair was empty. And the truth dawned on me, Father has gone. But we're going to meet together. We're going to meet together in the air. That's true. Let's think of the second one. Whether we wait or whether we sleep, we're going to live together with Him. Together in the air with our loved ones, that's good. Together with Christ in heaven, that's better. I mean, what's the third one? Comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as He also do. What's that? We're going to be together in the air with our loved ones. And we're going to be together in heaven with Christ.
In the light.
On earth. In assembly fellowship. We should be together. One with another. And if we're going to have a beautiful assembly, we will have to have oneness. We will have to have unity. We will have to have... Hopefully, very quickly, what's the characteristics of a sheep? There are five people mentioned in John 10 in relation to the sheep, and we can't ponder it too much, but let me give them to you tonight. There's the stranger. There's the porter. There's the hireling. There's the thief. And there's the sheep flees from the stranger. The hireling flees from the sheep. Why is the hireling there? He's there for sale. He's there for salary. He's not interested in the sheep. But the thief is worse than the stranger. And the thief is worse than the hireling. Listen to what it says about the thief. The thief cometh to steal and to I get the picture tonight. The good shepherd, he is different from the thief. The thief comes to get, the shepherd comes to give. So he's different from the thief. Number two, he's different from the hireling. The hireling sacrifices the sheep to save himself. The good shepherd sacrifices himself to save the sheep. And he's different. They flee from the stranger, but they follow the shepherd. Now let me say this tonight very quickly. Three things tonight mark a sheep. Number one, it hears the voice. Number two, it knows the voice. Number three, it knows the shepherd. And if we're going to know a beautiful assembly, we'll have to hear the voice of the shepherd. And we'll have to know the voice of the shepherd. And we'll have to follow the shepherd. My father's favorite hymn was this. I have a shepherd, and I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love. Following Jesus ever day by day,
Nothing can harm me if Jesus leads the way. Darkness or sunshine, whatever befall, Jesus, my shepherd, is my all in all. And if we're going to have a good assembly, it must be the characteristic. Very quickly. Let me say this tonight, beloved. Many things today has to be done. Proverbs 4:23, is it? Keep thy heart with all diligence. And go to my margin again tonight. Keep thy heart above all that thou darkest. Beyond everything we guard, we have to guard our heart. Let me say three things tonight in connection with guarding very quickly. Number one, we have to guard the person of Christ. You remember what it says about Solomon? 3 score men that could handle the sword, that were expert in war, they stood by guarding Solomon's bed for fear of the night. I tell you tonight, dear child of God, we have to guard the person of Christ. He's being attacked on every hand. Number two, we have to guard the word of God. Two things you can do with the truth of God. Number one, you can buy it. Number two, you can sell it. I'm wondering today, beloved, if the truth of God is being more sold than it is being bought. And the words of Paul to Timothy come to mind. Oh, Timothy, guard that which is committed to thy trust. And we need to guard the truth of God. We have to guard the flock of God. Now here's a study. Most places in the Bible where you read about the flock, you either read about a lion, you read about a wolf, or you read about I say tonight, dear child of God, if we're going to have a beautiful assembly, if we're going to have a beautiful flock, we'll have to guard the flock of God. Why did God place Adam in the garden? The authorized says that he might rest it, and that he might keep it. Mr. Darby's translation puts it like this. That he might dress it, and that he might... You got the picture? A beautiful flower? It will have to be fair. It must enjoy liberty. There has to be oneness, a togetherness. There has to be that characteristic marking the flock. It has to be cared. It has to be guarded. If we're going to have.
hurt my life. You just gave me thy blessing upon thy spoken word. Help us now with thy righteous blessing. Lead us to your homes tonight in safety. Watch over us, O God, and keep us in thy fear. As we ask thee strength and buffer our plans, in the Lord Jesus Christ's name.
This thing may be quoting perhaps just the first and the last verse, 156. My shepherd is the Lamb, the living Lord who died. With all things good I ever am, by him, in love supply. Just the first and the last verse. I don't know.